The magnificent messenger of Allah. The magnificent messenger of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO, the Magnificent Messengers. Today's episode, Alhamdulillah, we've got lots of beautiful, beautiful stories and some great lessons. We're going to be discussing the amazing life of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. I start with the blessing of Durood-e Pak. There are many blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak from Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, these days it's very easy for me to pick up the phone and talk to somebody in Madinah al-Munawwarah. They can hear me, I can hear them. Just by a simple chip. Now, if this chip allows us to do that, and Allah has given His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam powers beyond our imagination. So the next time you recite Durood-e Pak from Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bear this hadith mubarakah in mind. That Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, recite Durood-e Pak upon me, for your Durood-e Pak reaches me. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. The magnificent messenger of Allah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we've got our resident guest, I call him the resident guest, our Shiraz Madni Sahab, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, he joins us today with his great white attire and beautiful smile. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shiraz bhai, good week?
Alhamdulillah, gonna get better.
Alhamdulillah. Now today we're discussing somebody who we introduced last week, but in all the verses of the Quran, I think Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, there's a great deal of mention in almost every other para. He's one of those magnificent messengers who kind of dominates the scene, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. So last week we had a brief introduction to him, how at the time of his blessed birth, Firaun, I think, was it Ramesses II, was it on? He was declaring himself to be king. He was oppressing people. He was torturing people. He was killing people, especially those from the Bani Israel. This was from the progeny and the ummah of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. Yeah. And he was particularly torturing them, killing their sons and letting their daughters live. And this was kind of his oppression on them. Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam appeared by the blessing of Allah in that era. And I think that's where we kind of introduced this amazing messenger of Allah. So I'm excited. Shiraz, tell me something about Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam.
So initially, what Fir'aun done? Fir'aun, he did a few things. Number one, he kind of oppressed his people. So it's important because Musa alayhi salam was to come in such a community or such a city, Misr, where there was a lot of corruption, a lot of fasad. So what Fir'aun did, he oppressed his people, put them through slavery, and eventually he made the slaves worship him, or, you know, accept him as the god. One significant thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that he done, he separated them into two groups, two parties, and he made one of them parties dominate the other. He made one of them parties dominate. So the Bani, he made the Qibti group dominate over the Bani Israel. And so this was the biggest issue that they had. Now the Qibti, they were more towards, they preferred Fir'aun. And the Bani Israel, they were more towards the believing side, yani the monotheism. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we preferred to favor the weaker ones. We preferred to favor the weaker ones. So hence, yani, we prefer, yani Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving a shout out to us that we're going to send Musa alayhi salam to that nation, who will elevate them and give them victory over Fir'aun. So now, this was the era, and then the most significant thing he done was when Fir'aun had the dream that there is a fire that's going to come in and everyone will get destroyed and the Bani Israel will live. When he went to the, you know, the dream interpreters, they said, look, there's going to be a child that will be born and he's going to take down your kingdom and the Bani Israel will be freed. So then what he decided, and then the same thing Nimrud decided, the same thing as well. I'm going to kill all the boys and allow the women to remain. Nimrud done that, and Ibrahim alayhi salam and his mother took him to the cave in Babylon. And now Fir'aun, he decides to do the same thing. And what's interesting here is every, you know, bad leader that has come in the past, they've always had this thing of, you know, controlling the vast community, the social groups, where here he's put them into groups, made one fight the other, put fitna and fasad between them.
So just be the ruler.
Keep them distracted in, you know, fighting one another, whereas he's dominating the entire land.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that came to mind, interestingly, is that because the shaitan is always behind these, so he was behind Nimrud, and he was behind Fir'aun. So when they get this a prophecy of a prophet that is going to turn their rule and, you know, take down their throne and their kingdom, the same shaitan gave the same idea to Nimrud, go and kill every child that's born.
Yeah, yeah.
And Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was right under it. And here, even more amazingly, to from a certain extent, because Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, their mother put them in the cave and they grew up in the cave. Whereas here, Allah Azza wa Jal, because of the arrogance of Fir'aun saying, I will kill, and the scholars write, Mufti Sahib writes in the book, you know, thousands of boys, children were murdered, newborns were murdered by Fir'aun, and yet, look at the kibriyai of Allah Azza wa Jal, look at the shine of Allah, look at the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, His absolute magnificence and His superiority, that Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, it basically grows up in front of him.
Same thing happened with Ibrahim alayhi salam. Any day he was brought up in that community. Same thing happened with Musa alayhi salam. Same thing happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. He was brought up in the king's house.
So
this pattern throughout, you know, history and even in the future, where the powerful, the tyrants will try to take down the good person and put in certain plans to keep, you know, the powerful or the good ones away, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the best of all planners. He will bring them towards the...
And so coming back to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, so Fir'aun has all these children killed, but from what I'd read, Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's mother Mubarak, they, nobody actually figured out, because of their structure and size, nobody realized that they were expecting.
So what happened was, initially Fir'aun, every boy born, he would kill them, right? Or Fir'aun's army. Then eventually when he realized that, look, I need some boys for slavery, right? So what he would do is, one year, he made a second plan, was 1 year we're going to let the boys live, and then the second year we're going to kill the boys, third year we're going to... Now, Musa alayhi salam's mother gave birth to Harun alayhi salam. And that was the year when boys were allowed to live. The year after that was Musa alayhi salam was given birth to. Now in this year, it was that year where boys were not allowed to live under the, you know, the rule law of Fir'aun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, gave, you could say, what, you know, prophets are given wahi. Prophets are given wahi. Humans, like a normal insan, he's given ilham. Ilham, in like most, you know, simple words, is like angelic whispers. The whispers of the angels, right. Yani the good ideas.
Right.
Yani if you see something and you think, right, I should move this out of the path because it's an obstacle for the, you know, anyone that's walking on the public, you know, pathway. That's an angelic whisper. For you to say no, if you, for example, was to throw litter, that's a shaitanic whisper. So we as humans are given angelic whispers, and we call that ilham, the mulhimat. So now, she was told, or she was given this insight.
Inspired.
She was inspired, right, to feed or breastfeed this child. But soon as you feel that Fir'aun, or there's some sort of tribulation that might come, and you feel a fear in your heart, as soon as you feel this, then place him inside a tabut, a special box, and place him inside a river, and let Allah deal with the rest.
And there's ayah mubarakah of the glorious Quran that deal with this situation. But just going back there, because the scholars write that because it was the year that Fir'aun was having the children killed, but Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's Amiji Mubarak, you couldn't tell that they were expecting. And when I say that Musa alayhi salam was born, they were very fearful. So that fear that they had, they didn't know how to deal with it. And as you say, they had these angelic whispers and this ilham to guide them. And the guide was that if you fear, put him in a basket. And it's the old name, Moses basket, as they call it. That's why they call it the Moses basket. Because put him into the basket and let him go down the river. Now, for a mother, that is a big thing. But what you've got to remember, though, is that this isn't any other mother. This is a great waliya of Allah Azzawajal. So she knows. I mean, if you have a whisper and you think somebody's saying, put your child into a basket and let him go down the river, you're not going to do that. But this gives you a glimpse at the status of the mother of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam as well.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So basically, that's what she ended up doing. She put Musa alayhi salam into tabut.
Because the soldiers, as is written in the books, the soldiers used to come and check up on his house, didn't they?
Yeah.
So at some point she felt threatened, and she thought if they discover this child, they will kill the child. So she feels that, and she feels compelled to then go with these angelic whispers, so to speak, this ilham, this instruction from Allah Azza wa Jal, and she puts Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam into this basket and into the River Nile.
Subhanallah.
Allah.
And then let the water, let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with the rest.
I mean, that is trusting Allah to a next level, isn't it, though?
That is.
And doesn't that kind of show the amazing status of the mother of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam?
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Where she just basically sacrifices it.
Puts him into the river.
And that's full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Putting and this is further reflected down the line, because what happens then as the basket flows down the River Nile?
So now what happened was the palace of Fir'aun was, as described, he had some group of slaves make a trench.
He had tributaries
that
flowed off the River Nile, and because obviously he was the king, some of the River Nile would flow through his properties and then go back.
And this tabut, as described in the Quran, or the casket that Musa alayhi salam was in, the box, it went through that certain canal outside the palace of Fir'aun, and it got stuck between a tree, where the name Musa comes from. Mu means in that language, in the Qibti language, was water. In Arabic, ma'un, and shajar. In their language, it was actually Sha, right? Just a Sheen and Alif. So if you combine that together, it's Musa, just to remind. And then Fir'aun's wife, she said, okay, because we found him, between the water and the tree, we will name him Musa. In that language, it was Musha, but in Arabic language, it's Musa. And that's one of the reasons why it's called Musa. And now, so she's seen the box.
Sorry to stop you there. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's mother Mubarak put them into a basket to save them from Fir'aun's soldiers who were searching for any newborn child. The basket is put into the River Nile. The River Nile, this time, is vast, so that time it was huge. But the Karni of Allah, this is how Allah wanted that basket that we're trying to save from Fir'aun actually flows down the River Nile. There are all these tributaries that are coming off River Nile to go to the different plains and everything else for the crops and everything else. But there is a tributary that goes specifically to Fir'aun's palace. And Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's basket flows down the tributary that goes to the house of Fir'aun. So Allah has sent him straight directly to that place. Yeah. And it then lodges on the bank there, outside the palace of Fir'aun, between a tree and the water. Allah.
And you have to bear in mind at the same time, Fir'aun's entire, you could say, the past era of his life was the fact that there's going to be a child that's going to grow up and take over my kingdom. And that very child ends up at his doorstep.
And this is the year that they're killing children as well.
Yeah.
Now, one question that I had in my mind, because we know that what the scholars say is that Hazrat Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was there on the outside and she saw this casket. So she went over and she picked it up and she saw it. And there's a very amazing little thing that happened there. But at that stage, so far as I could see, but this isn't clear, Hazrat Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha hadn't accepted Islam at that stage. Do you know anything about that?
So basically, there's a few women in the history where they were married, right, to a certain person, but certain dreams or certain things protected them from consummating their marriage completely. So if you look at, you know, Zulaykha radiallahu anha, despite being married to the king of Misr, she had a dream basically, where she is going to end up marrying someone else, right? And this kept her from consummating her marriage. And like this, various occasions in the past, there have been women like this who have not consummated their marriage because of ilham given to them. So they were married inside, you know, that relationship, but they didn't, you know, fully consummate their marriage. So this is what has been mentioned in history, and they've given a few examples like Zulaykha, even the Hazrat Asiya radiallahu anh. There's a few others, I can't remember. Mm.
But so far as she was concerned, though, there was something very beautiful I read, Shiraz Bey, and you've no doubt, you know, must have come across this, that when she first cast eyes on Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, she fell in love with this child. Mm. And she said, what a beautiful child this is. Mm. And she was just mesmerized by the beauty of this magnificent messenger of Allah. And Fir'aun, he was like, this is a child, I need to kill this child because this could be the one. And Hazrat Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha said, no, why don't we keep this child as our child? And the scholars actually write something really beautiful. They say that she was gifted with the nur, the light of Iman, because when she looked at the face of the Prophet, she not only fell in love, but she was enticed by it, and she praised. She praised the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and so Allah said, you have praised my Prophet, I'm going to make you such a great example for the women of the Alameen, the women of the world, because of your praise. And it comes back to a very subtle point that we will cover later on as well. You'll remember when the magicians come, they said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, do you want to cast first or shall we? And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam says, you go. What the scholars write there is, the reason that those magicians were gifted with the treasure of Iman was they showed respect for Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And in a similar way, Hazrat Asiya radiallahu ta'ala showed respect for this child in the basket and love for this child that she was gifted with Iman.
But to add on to that, Rumbai, you know, right at the end of the story, Fir'aun's in the river Nile and the two tides are, you know, on either side of him, like mountains.
Mm.
So at that point, he even reads the kalima. So at this point, he sees the angels and he accepts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's too late because he's seen the angels. So, you know, in the first Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa sees her, she is gifted Iman. The magicians see Musa alayhi salam, they're gifted Iman. But now Fir'aun, he sees the angels, but he's not gifted Iman, because it was too late, number one. Number two, the reason, he used to say something like blasphemous. He used to say that Ana Rabbukumul A'la, that I am the most elevated creator or Lord. And Jibreel alayhi salam is mentioned in the say, Jibreel alayhi salam, because of this statement, because Jibreel alayhi salam is one of the archangels, and he respects the sifat of A'la, and he knows how superior that is, because it's Jibreel who goes to the elevated station and brings down the wahi and everything. But since he heard that statement, he did not have no respect for Fir'aun at all. So when he read the kalma, Jibreel, with his wing, he threw soil in his mouth, which stopped him from uttering the kalma. Even if he had read it, it wouldn't have been accepted, because he's already entered he's seen the angels of death. That's too late. But he just didn't want him to read Allah's name at the
time. Allahu Akbar. So, as they say, now Musa alayhi salam arrives in the casket and is lodged there. They pick him up.
What also happens is Musa alayhi salam's mother sends Musa alayhi salam's sister to go and keep your eyes on the basket, and she watches it
from
a distance.
So she follows the casket down and she realizes that it's come to the palace of the king. So she then comes in, doesn't she, as they're there. And once Fir'aun accepts,
imagine this now, yeah? So they put the...
Unbelievable.
They put the basket into the river with the intention that maybe it goes past Fir'aun's house. Maybe it ends somewhere else. And that's who they wanted to protect it from. Fir'aun and his army. But when it's gone into the house, imagine what they would have felt. Imagine what they would have been going through. So she basically follows it and ends up at the house. And then it takes her, the Musa alayhi salam comes into the house, asks Ya and Fir'aun, they have this discussion, should we keep it, should we do this, should we kill it, X, Y, Z. And Asiya, she very intellectual, says that it's a child, it can't harm you, it can't do anything. So they decide to keep, and she actually says that maybe because they couldn't have children, one of the reasons is they were not going to consummate the marriage. And she actually said that maybe it'll give us benefit in the long run. Maybe he might become your inheritor. So she kind of persuaded Fir'aun that keep this child, we'll bring him up, he'll do as we say. And that's what happened. So this Musa alayhi salam is now brought into the palace of Fir'aun. And that very child that Fir'aun tried to remove, that came in his dream, that was his nightmare. It wasn't even a dream, it was a nightmare for him. That child that was in his nightmares is now in his palace and is living, and he's bringing them up.
So they decided to keep this child on the premise that this can't be that child, it's just a child. What can a child do? And therefore, let's bring him up as a son. And then the next difficulty they have is they've got a newborn child that they need to feed. So they send out a message saying we need somebody to breastfeed this child. And different women come along, but Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam doesn't want to go near anybody else. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's sister is there, and she says, maybe it's his purity, and I know a very pure woman.
Do you know in the Ilham, so in the angelic whisper that Musa alayhi salam's real mother got, one of the things that was also given to her was the fact that she was told that we will relieve you of your pain as well.
Well, I was just going to read that. That's exactly what I was looking for as you were talking, because the translation from Kanzul Iman, and what it says is, or isse darya mein dal de aur khauf na kar aur gham na kar, ke we put him into the river and don't be fearful and don't have grief. Beshak hum ise teri taraf pher layenge. Without doubt, we will return him to you. Look at the power and the kibriyai and the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is it's just magnificent, isn't it? And Allah Azza wa Jal says to the mother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, put him in the river, watch how we return him to you. So this basket goes down the river into the palace of Fir'aun. Fir'aun then, or his wife, asks for women who can feed Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Women are called. He doesn't go near any of them. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam's sister says, I know a very pure woman who can help. And Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's mother is brought. Musa alayhi salam drinks the milk. And he's given back to his mother saying, go and take care of him. So Allahu Akbar. I mean, it's just amazing. Amazing.
So now he's got the respect from Fir'aun's house. And now he's back into the
back in
his mother.
Of his mother. And this is what the Quran says. And humne Musa ki maa ko ilham kiya, which is what you say. We told, Allah says, I commanded, I told her that do this. Mm. Allahu Akbar.
SubhanAllah. So yeah, so now his Musa al-Islam has achieved that. Well, Allah has given him that status where Fir'aun, he's safe in Fir'aun's house, and he is also now in his mother's arms. She breastfeeds him for a certain period of time, grows up nurtured, and now he has access to both homes. He could go into Fir'aun's palace, he could go into his mother's house. He is basically free. And you know the criteria that Fir'aun had, that every boy in 1 year we're gonna kill, the second year we're gonna live a life. He's free from that now. He's grown out of that. Allah's planned Musa al-Islam's early life in such a way where he has been given authority in Fir'aun's palace, and he's also been, allowed to live in with his mother. He's getting tarbiyat from his mother, nurturing from his mother, but he's growing up, being nurtured in one sense in Fir'aun's house as well. So now this brings, in what Musa al-Islam does in the future, all of this is basically aiding towards that. And when he saves the Bani Israel later on in his life, it's all based on what happened in his early part of his life.
So he grows up in the palace.
He grows up, and then what happened was a few things happened. Fir'aun said to the mother of Musa alayhi salam that, look, I'll give you one golden coin each time you breastfeed, basically per day. I'll give you a golden coin per day. She basically accepted that. And based on the fact, not because she was the hakiki, the real mother, but she accepted that because he's a zalim anyway, any money you're going to get is good for her.
Viewers of Madni Channel, we've learned amazing, amazing story of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam today. I find this story magnificent. I mean, it's just unbelievably amazing that Fir'aun, this tyrant, and by the way, if you go to the main museum in Egypt, and he's actually in the Cairo
Museum. So basically, one thing is very important, especially for the viewers. In Tafsir Jalalain, right, it mentions that, and so the Quran says that we preserved his body for the people to see.
Hmm.
Now, in Tafsir Jalalain, what's mentioned is that 5 days after he was drowned, the river choked out his body, so the people can see and witness the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my point is, and this is in terms of authenticity, the Quran and Tafsir Jalalain, that's the basically root of all tafsir. You can't basically go. So what that means is, when we preserved his body, it actually means that 5 days later,
when they threw it out.
Now, if that really is his body in the museum, then the ayat is saying that. But if it isn't, for example,
then
it's already preserved, sense that it was thrown out
by the river now.
And that's authenticity, and that's 100%, that did happen.
SubhanAllah.
This, because when you do the dating and you go and work out the...
Say, for example, they discovered that it wasn't.
It wasn't, then that...
But the Quran is perfect, yes. Viewers of Madni Channel, that last bit at the end there, again, is the beauty of our scholars. May Allah Azza wa Jal raise their ranks. And the beautiful tafsirs, because although on the face of it, it looked like that, I'm so glad that you clarified that.
Especially for the viewers.
Especially for the viewers, especially for me as well, because that is really, really
in, especially in this day and age, a lot of conspiracies, theories, a lot of we assume things that are not real. And this leads up to other things.
It's a very important thing. But basically what people have done in the past is that they've said, so this thing has happened. And then they said, this is in accordance with the Quran and Hadith and etc. But then that was a fitna, because then they proved that wrong.
Yeah.
And the indirect link was. Yeah. Look at the Tafsir Mubarakah that you referred to. This Tafsir Mubarakah is so clear and explicit that we take that as first. And then but in the life of, as they say, Musa al-Islam, and in the death of Fir'aun, there are great lessons. Inshallah. Next week, inshallah, we'll take it from there. Inshallah, we're going to move on to our second segment. Salu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. The magnificent messenger of Allah.
The great martyrdom of Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala was truly something amazing. This story we hear time and time again. This travelling from Madinatul Munawwara to Makkatul Mukarrama and then on to the plains of Karbala. We hear that there's only 72 in the caravan of Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam. We hear that there's 22,000 in the Yazidi army. And we hear how they were surrounded and how they were martyred on the plains of Karbala. But there are two things, Shiraz, where I wanted to discuss today. The first, the second is the lessons from Karbala for the youth. But the first thing that I wanted to discuss was this concept of Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala being helpless, not having any power over anything, being besieged, and, you know, was unfortunate, was unlucky, he ended up there, and they all his family were martyred. But that's not true, is that's not right, is it?
That's not right.
You know, what is the real concept that we should have here? What is the truth of the situation?
I think, you know, a lot of people, if I analyze it by today, you know, a lot of people get confused with a lot of crazy conspiracies, or this is happening in the world, and this is happening, and these people, you know, X, Y, and Z are happening. And what happens is, we end up thinking that certain people, certain communities are so powerful, and mazallah, we end up thinking that they dominate the strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. However, do we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful, and He does as He wills? So, yani, in the story of Karbala, you know, we just done the story of Musa.
The point you said there, sorry I'm to interrupt you, but that is a very, very good point, because a lot of people, they think like that. The fly is the superpower, and fly is the superpower, and they then control everything, and nobody else controls.
That's conspiracy.
And that's basically the shaitan playing with your head. Why? Because, tell me this, it's a very simple concept to put it into context. How many superpowers have come and gone? Who thought they were superpowers, and they fizzled out, they died, and they're in their graves. And they don't last very long. Even those have lasted hundreds of years.
You know, the conspiracies that led up to Hazrat Usman. You know, the entire Karbala event, it took place from conspiracies. It first initiated with Hazrat Usman Ghani. He was assassinated. Then it went on towards when Hazrat Ali became the Imam, Amirul Mu'mineen. Conspiracies went around. Then Imam Hassan became the, Amirul Mu'mineen. Conspiracies. You know, and the public, in their minds, it was like, okay, this person, he's a tyrant, he's taking over, he's doing this, he's doing
this. The fitness of the people who were inciting it. But we've only got 10 minutes left. I just want to come back to the question I asked you, though. So that question was that this concept...
Allah's the most powerful.
No, but this concept that people portray about Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala being a poor, helpless person who just ended up on the plains of Karbala by pure chance, I mean, it's got to be completely rubbish, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had predicted this event. Akha Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told them what was going to happen with Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala. And can you really imagine that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his amazing ilm, his knowledge that Allah azawajal has granted him, which is beyond any human comprehension, told us about the events from when the world was, the first of creation was created, to the day of judgment and beyond, and to eternity of Jannat and Jahannam, knows all of that information to disclose it to us, to the extent that he knows the hooves of the horses that are going to march in the battles of the day of judgment that we discussed in Yolo 1, and yet, Akha Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't know that after I put a veil between myself and this world, people are going to martyr my own grandson. Even intellectually, it doesn't hold water. And then Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu anhu knew exactly where he was going. He knew exactly. And the other example that I just wanted to leave the viewers of Madni Channel with is, you know, the impression that's given is that Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu anhu was powerless. Yeah? And why didn't people stop him going there? When you've raised a child to sit an exam, when you've raised a child and he's studied all his life for a particular exam, and when he's going to the exam room, you don't say, well, it's going to be fearful in there, no, don't bother going. You don't withdraw him, you put him in the exam. Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam radiallahu ta'ala, in the 6 years he spent with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the upbringing he had at the hands of Hazrat Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala, his amazing mother Khatun al-Jannah, all that upbringing, this was the patience and fortitude that he gained, and this was the test. What was the test for him, and what was his shining day, We've turned into, and his courage and his bravery to save the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Yazid wanted his own ways, and we haven't got time to go into that. This was his amazing sacrifice to save the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You know, you got two, so you got Hassan and you got Hussein. Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein was the elder one, right? And what his life, if you narrow it down, what his life shows is that when the time comes, or in certain situations, the Prophet says that لَعَلَّهُ أَن يُصْلِحَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْفِئَتَيْنَ الْعَظِيمَتَيْنَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, that Imam Hassan is on the member, he says, Imam Hassan, this child of mine, grandson of mine, is going to join two large groups of Muslims together. So he basically brought peace between two large groups of Muslims. Right? So his one grandson, yani Rasulullah's one grandson, his attribute was that he brought peace into the land, right? At a time where there was, you know, and it was an attribute that this is part of Rasulullah, because they learned it from him at a young age. So he brought him this unity and peace in saving and protecting the Muslims. Later on, when Imam Hussein was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was the leader of the Muslims, and he was against tyrants. These people were like, that's why, you know, on the 10th of Muharram, that's the day Musa alayhi salam saved Bani Israel from Fir'aun as well, and the river. Yani, is history repeating itself. Now is Imam Hussein against the army of Fir'aun, yani the Yazid. And what this shows is that when the time comes, at certain times you bring it together with peace, and at certain times you're going to have to sacrifice. And you're going to have to restore peace onto the earth by sacrifice. Sometimes you could bring them together, sometimes you're going to have to do it through sacrifice. And this is a lesson given by Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, yani, and both of them nurtured by Imam Ali, who was nurtured by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And both of them are the leaders of the youth of Jannah. Okay, so from a background point of view, this wasn't just a happening that happened by coincidence. This was an amazing pre-planned way and a great sacrifice by one of the most courageous companions and grandson of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to protect the deen, because Yazid was diluting it. We haven't got time to go into that.
Yeah.
Now, the second question is this then. What lesson do the youth of today, or should the youth of today, take from the amazing sacrifice of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala?
So, Aruma, you know, I think there's too many lessons, right? If you were to ask me this particular question at this day and age, I know, you know, another scholar and yourself, every person would have a different aspect of it. It's basically whatever he learns, that's the lesson he sees that's the most important. What personally, what I learned from this entire incident, there's loads of lessons within. There's loads of lessons within them. What the main thing I see here is, first of all, never losing hope. And that's one of the biggest lessons I learned. And I think overall, never fall into conspiracies. Never fall into listening to lies and slanders and false information. Don't listen to the ghibat of a brother performed by another brother. Silent it out. Always have your heart on the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always listen to Allah and His Rasul. Don't fall into conspiracies and, you know, listening to things on social media, news channels. Don't go into all of that. Stick to the authenticity of Allah and His Rasul, the authentic scholars. You will not, you know, the hadith where the Rasulullah says that I leave behind, there's two. One is I leave behind Kitab, yani the Quran and my Sahaba, yani I leave behind the Kitab and my Sunnah. That is giving you this idea that you stick to Allah and me, you will not go astray. And the second one is the Ahlul Bayt, yani Kitab and Ahlul Bayt. For me, the lesson is stick to Allah and His Rasul. Don't listen to other people, you will always be guided. That's the lesson I
learned. On the plains of Karbala, there were these two groups. But the thoughts, the doctrines, their thinking
were different.
Their perceived way of life was different.
Mm.
On the one hand, you had the Yazidi way. And on the other hand, you had the great way of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala. And in my mind, like you said, different people take different things because there's an amazing sacrifice.
And what I had in mind was this. If you looked at Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala, desires disappeared. And the will of Allah and his Habib were the path. Whereas if you looked at the Yazidi way, his desires were everything. So if today, the lesson for the youth is, see what Yazid wanted to do.
I think we could conclude it in one sentence. Hold on to your morals and values. I think that's what you're trying to get.
No, I've got to say,
Yazid diverted, as you're saying, they're both on the battlefield. Yazid diverted from the values, the etiquettes and the morals of, you know, his forefathers. And Imam Hussein stuck with the values and morals of his forefathers.
I think there was a bigger point than that. Because what Yazid wanted to do, Shiraz Bey, was he wanted to dilute Islam. He said, if you go to the masjid, it's fine, but you can go clubbing as well.
Yeah.
If you want to drink Zamzam, that's fine, but you can drink alcohol as well.
Yeah.
And he was mixing and matching the two. So the question for today's youth is that every Muslim youngster we speak to will say, I love Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. I am with him. Yeah, we said there's two camps here. This is the camp of Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. This is the camp of the Yazid. And you had 100,000 youngsters. I don't think there's any one of them that would go anywhere near that camp with his tongue.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not about the tongue, is it? It's about the actions. Because this is what Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala was challenging. So the question, in my mind, the lesson for the youth is this. If you pray five times a day, you're in the Husseini camp. You're with Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam. But if you miss your salah, you sit over here with Yazid. Right or wrong? Don't mix and match it. There's no grey area here. Yeah. If you read the Quran every day with understanding and translation, you're with the Husseini camp. You're there with Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala. But if you have not got time for, you've got time for social media and Facebook and Twitter and everything else, but you haven't got 5 minutes to read the glorious Quran every day and learn from it, then you're on that camp. And similarly, say for example the beard. There's a beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have grown this in the love of Allah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're in Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala's camp. But if you shave just to look good in the society that you live in, or you adopt these funny styles, you're on the Yazidi camp. Acting upon sunnah. If you act, you're on with Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. If you ignore sunnah and follow the fashions of the time, you're with Yazid because that's what he wanted to do. If you drink alcohol, you stood with Yazid. If you take drugs, you stood with Yazid. So it's the actions that, in my mind, it's the actions that are important, not what you say with this tongue. So if my actions are closer to Yazid's actions, then I am following him, despite what I'm saying with my tongue. And one of the greatest things, the books of history testify, Yazid was disobedient to his parents.
Yeah.
So if you're disobedient to your parents, nobody can give me one example in the entire life of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala that he ever went anywhere near that. Mm. In fact, he was so obedient that it's unbelievable. So if you're obedient to your parents, you stood with Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala. But if you disrespect, next time you disrespect your parents, just think, I'm now stood with Yazid. Because that's what he did. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala was frustrated with him. They were completely, they'd had enough of him.
Mm.
And so this is it. The other thing is, halal and haram, I've run over time. But if you are not bothered where your money's coming from, whether it's halal or haram, even if you have to sign the form, you're still in the Yazidi camp. You'll correct me, you're a scholar. But if you make sure your every penny that comes in is halal, you're still in the Husseini camp. But if you...
That's why I try to conclude it. You know, if you hold on to the values that are given down by Rasulullah, you will never be astray.
Subhanallah. Viewers of Madni Channel, this is a topic that we could carry on for hours. We have to end it there. Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala gave a great sacrifice. And our love and our heartfelt sorrow is there. But Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala doesn't need our sympathies. He didn't do it to gain sympathies. He did it so that we would hold on to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We would pray salah. We would read the Quran. We would follow the sunnah. We would respect our parents. We would stay away from the wrong things. And we would stay close to Allah and his Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the message of Karbala. May Allah give us all the blessings and barakats of this beautiful month. May Allah give us all the opportunity on the Day of Judgment to stand in the camp of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam radiallahu ta'ala and follow him into Jannah. Ameen bijahi nabil ameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The magnificent messenger of Allah. messenger of Allah.